Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. A lot of us like Upland, Indiana, half an hour north of Muncie. For one thing, it's the home of Ivanhoe's, where, if you can get a seat, it's hard to beat the burgers and ice cream on a warm summer day. There is Taylor University, and there is also in Upland a group called Wandering Wheels, founded by a former Taylor football coach. Since 1964, they've led dozens of coast-to-coast bicycle trips across the country. More than just a feat of strength or endurance or whatever it is that allows otherwise normal people to pedal all day, every day for 6 weeks, the trips have been a chance for people to find a kind of inner strength they never knew they had. Bob Davenport is the former college football coach who started the group, in part to help troubled kids. Friends and admirers still call him coach, maybe because, besides being a title, that's just who he is. I visited Coach Davenport the other day. He had just celebrated a birthday in the way only he can.
I've gotten older. That's one thing that you don't have to work at. But anyway, I just turned 80 on April 30th and slowing down a little bit.
What did you do for your 80th birthday?
On my 80th birthday, I told people, you want to take a ride with me? I'm going to ride 80 miles on my 80th birthday. And about 15 of them joined me, and we had a great time, good weather. Went over to Camac Station and had ourselves some lunch there. And so we had a good time moving to Muncie and back to Upland and dog-legged it, so we got our 80 miles in.
80 miles on your 80th birthday. You're just not slowing down, are you?
Well, maybe to the general public it doesn't look like it, but I am slowing down.
How many trips have you made across the country?
My crossings, we've done 68 coast-to-coast. I have ridden 43 of the 68.
That is just amazing. That's a life goal for some people. Was the 43rd time different than the first?
Well, the first was going to be my only one. I vowed I'll do it once, and then got home and started getting so many responses from other parents whose kids went. Rather than not doing it again, we did it twice in 1967. So the difference was, over the course of the years, the others were more of a challenge of servicing people and letting the kids' dreams come true with the Wheels leadership.
Wandering Wheels, while the cross-country trips are exciting and everything, you had a purpose of helping young people. Explain that a little bit.
Well, I had played football at UCLA, an All-American, no big deal. Went into some Canadian pro ball and got two knee injuries. And Don Odell, who was a Taylor basketball coach at the time, invited me to come and coach a small team here at Taylor University. And during this period of time from about 1958 on, I became a public speaker. Just speaking at athletic banquets, commencements, baccalaureates, you name it. But after a while, I got burned out, just looking kids in the eye and thinking, hey, they're not listening to me. They want to get this thing over with as fast as they can. So I need to find some common ground where I could really communicate to kids. And the thought came to me, what about a 1,000-mile bike ride? And found a good route along the Mississippi River on the Great River Road, 15 kids. And we went up to the Lake Mille Lacs, the headwaters of the Mississippi, and rode down to Cairo, Illinois. Toughest thing I'd ever done. And I just feared for the kids' safety, vowed I'd never do it again. Almost tried to find a lawyer to make me sign something saying I'd never do it again. But the idea crept into my thinking, what would happen on a coast-to-coast? And this was not a common thing back then. We were kind of pioneers, even though it had been done back in the early 1900s, even the late 1800s. So I got the 15 kids, we did the trip, vowed I'd never do it again, and in 1966 put together a team that was going to go coast-to-coast. We were flying by the seat of our pants. And the thing I really wanted was just to get down and get dirty. And a simple example, you know, you say grace at home for a dinner meal or whatever, and it becomes kind of common, and you almost memorize it. And the kids that I had asked to offer thanks for food were going, thank you, God, for this food and the hands that prepared it. Well, I told them, I said, you know, you ever look at the hands of our cooks? They're dirty. And they're not real mama's hands. These are grubby old guys who are just loving you and putting together some food. And I said, talk about that kind of thing in your prayer. And so it's that spirit that got mixed in with working with the kids that all of a sudden the things I'd been lecturing about from the platform, then the commencements of the athletic banquets and what have you, all of a sudden it became real. And I found myself kind of hooked on the fact that riding a bicycle 100 miles a day gave you a little bit of entree to teaching some of the things sacred that you've been wanting to teach even as a commencement speaker. So that was the thing that launched me on it, and I found myself feeling like any other kind of communication without the nitty-gritty going along with it wasn't going to work for me.
Who were these young people, and how did they respond to what's really an enormous physical challenge, right?
Well, back then, we were, no one was doing this. In fact, we were the first as a group ride. I had about 40 kids on that first trip. And their response was, they were a little bit overwhelmed. Not just a little bit, really big time overwhelmed. We had received a lot of notoriety and television covers, keys to cities and what have you. And so they became, a lot of them weren't popular athletes. They were just good kids who aren't going to make a football team or a basketball team, maybe not even cross country. So they went home with a trophy that was bigger than life, and they were heroes. The early trips were kind of like, if you finish this thing, we'll guarantee you something akin to a championship in football, basketball, track and field, or whatever.
How do you work up to those kinds of distances?
You really don't train them as such. You recommend, and you tell them that the minimum should be 15 miles a day for a coast-to-coast and 50 miles on the weekend. But you get in shape the first 2 weeks of the coast-to-coast trip on the road.
Coach Bob Davenport, founder of the group Wandering Wheels, which leads bicycle trips across the country. He has ridden coast to coast 43 times. For his 80th birthday this spring, he went on, of course, an 80-mile bike ride. By the way, Wandering Wheels has a kind of a short ride coming up. The Trailblazer Ride is July 20th and 21st on the Greenway north of Muncie down to LeSantville and back. Details at wanderingwheels.org.
Bicycle. Bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Coach Bob Davenport, former skipper of the Taylor University Trojans football team, more recently a coach in the sense of somebody who has coached groups of bicycle riders into the monumental feat of riding coast to coast across the country 43 times.
There is a mental part to the challenge of riding this kind of distance, isn't that right?
Oh, man. In fact, it's all, you know, the brain's connected to the muscles more than we realize. The challenge getting ready for something like this is, in fact, some of the strongest riders I've had initially were looked like Greek gods, but their brains started working on them halfway across, and all of a sudden they became the slow pokes, the ones who didn't have the get up and go, and my little skinny kids who couldn't even make a water boy team were the ones who, the ramrodders.
Why is that? How does it work that somebody starts out looking like, you know, they may not be able to make the first day, but they end up distinguishing themselves on the ride?
I really can't say what I just know that I can look at a team of 40 or 50 people, and I'll be the last person, having done it so many times, I'll be the last person that could tell you conclusively, this one will make it, this one won't, this one will have a good trip, this one won't. It can't be put down on paper.
How much does it have in common with what you saw as a football coach at Taylor and just the coaching of people to achieve the best that they can, is there some overlap between how that works in collegiate sports and professional sports, which you played in, and in something like bicycling across the country?
A tough question. I would say the normal exposure to doing this so often, just to let you know that in football, where I coach, you were given a team. And so you start mixing the team. You might take a kid who was an all-state end and say, no, on our team you're going to be better off as a tailback or as a defensive back. And on the coast-to-coast, you find yourself, bang, you're handed a group of 45, 50 kids, and you wind up not realizing who's going to be your inspirational writer. He just kind of surfaces.
Those people who have that spirit to achieve like that, anything that you see in common, it's not physical. You said you can't just look at them. As you're talking to them, is there something that you hear that over the years you realize, yeah, they have this in common?
I would say it's almost, I guess, the thing that's most in common is that they're a part of a team that they've never been a part of. And all of a sudden, they realize they have a kind of special worth that they hadn't seen before because of a lack of athletic ability or size or what have you. And I guess the common thread would be that they see themselves as being a worthy competitor with the whole team. And I can almost anymore know who these people are. They're a little bit bashful and stand back a little bit initially, but before long, they're the ones with the bright eyes and a smiley face and saying, hey, they're like a lead dog in a sled team. They're ready to go after about 2 weeks. And the big old tough guys who you thought were going to be your leaders are winding up following the little mutts.
You've been doing this for 50 years.
50 years, right.
This is something that seems like it would be worth a book.
I'm tired of books. I read a lot. But I really felt that there's a need to report back that after 50 years of this kind of unbelievable exposure, it's one thing to do it once, one thing to do it twice. But over the course of the years, there have been so many little things. I look over my shoulder and I realize that we're either awfully lucky or there is something happening in a supernatural sense. Well, one is our Coast to Coast we did in January, many years ago. And we were taking a trip where we're going to average 120 miles a day. So we landed in San Diego and put the gear together and bang, we're headed off for the East Coast. And we're in the desert and got ourselves in trouble. Our big bus got stuck in the sand. We got off the road. And we were wondering how we're going to get it out of there because it was New Year's Eve, and you just don't find in the middle of the desert the trucker to come out or the unit to come out and help you dig out. And so we finally found a couple that had a little downtime. They came out about 20 miles out of Brawley, and Brawley, California, and they hooked onto our big bus. This is a Greyhound type bus, and their chain or cable stretched out across the highway, all the way across the highway, and they were now on the other side of the highway, ready to pull us out. So they yanked on the bus, and the cable lifted up about 4 feet in the air. So it was stretched like a tightrope thing that you'd walk across the highway. And all of a sudden, coming down the road at about 65 miles an hour was a car with the outstretched cable in front of them. I just thought myself, well, they're going to get decapitated. And honest to goodness, John, in the middle of this whole incident, the truck backed off, car was within just feet of the cable, fell to the highway. They zoomed over as though nothing had happened. And I found myself all evening long, the next day, the next week, thinking of what kind of a catastrophe that could have been. Well, that kind of thing over the course of the years has happened, not on a regular basis, but enough to where, and you don't get cocky about it. You don't say, well, we don't have to do anything about being safe and what have you, because we were the ones that put bike flags on bicycles. First one to put bicycle helmets, make them required. Bought hockey helmets out of Canada to put on kids. We couldn't even find a bicycle helmet. There was one being made. So our concern has always been the safety of the kids or the riders. And this has been duplicated time and time again. You don't go along bragging about the fact that yeah, we're invincible, but you look back over your shoulder and you realize that, boy, for the grace of God, we could have really been in trouble.
Coach Bob Davenport, into endurance cycling and a witness for 50 years now to the power that teamwork and tough challenges can have in changing lives, including his own. His group is leading a shorter ride for families next month. The Wandering Wheels Trailblazer Ride is July 20th and 21st on the Greenway north of Muncie down to LeSantville and back. Details at wanderingwheels.org.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
We're visiting today with Bob Davenport, who started leading groups of young people in coast-to-coast bike trips nearly 50 years ago. He's slowing down a little bit now, but still marvels at the changes he has seen in his riders over the years.
The first time I got introduced to the possibilities of these kinds of things happening, and it wasn't something that I was looking for, but I had a group of young riders, and one mother pulled up here in front of the office, and she and her 15-year-old had a bout, and she said, "Bring him back dead or changed." And she was just being a little bit sarcastic. And
she had been having some trouble with her son. And was that common, some of the people that you were working with?
Yeah, many of the parents were saying, and 15 years of age is really that rascally age. And so we're on the bike trip, and now some of these kids are spoiled rotten. They're an entitled sort of, I think they're entitled. They said, okay, it's time to wash our clothes. You know, mom has always done that. And so we're in the laundromat washing clothes, and the kids are saying, "Hey, coach, my white shirt turned powder blue." And so they mix colors with the whites. And then they got ripped off because they put coins in and it didn't work, and they're pounding on the machine. And so having clean clothes was a traumatic experience for them. But anyway, I got back home and had the kids with me for this long period of time. They're doing their washing and doing a lot of other different things they'd never done before domestically. And I got a letter back from the mom who parked out in front saying, "Bring him back dead or changed." And she said, "My son came home, and he came to me and thanked me for washing his clothes." She said he went to his dresser, and there were all his clothes stacked neatly. And she said, "The first time in our relationship that I got to thank you." So that seems kind of small and insignificant, but to me it was, you know, you can preach all day, try to teach the lessons of being responsible and what have you. But to get the kid to elicit saying, "Hey, mom, thanks for washing my clothes. It came from putting a coin in a laundromat and coming out with powder blue shirts."
How long did these coast-to-coast trips usually take?
A normal coast-to-coast for us was 6 weeks.
6 weeks. So yeah. I can imagine you'd see a lot of changes in young people in that kind of time.
And not only that, John, we see changes in an immediate sense aren't nearly as great as the letters we get back from people 30 years later saying the single most important thing that I ever did in my life was the coast-to-coast bicycle trip. And you can't see, they now are able to measure that experience against 30 years of other experiences. And it really almost brings tears in my eyes, the letters we get who say, "Hey, coach, the most important thing I ever experienced was my coast-to-coast bike trip." And that's what I was looking for. I mean, down deep. Not looking for just another camp, not just another way to make some bucks, but looking for something that would really be a big stamp in their life.
At age 80, you'd be entitled to retire. Is that something you want to do?
Well, I'm slowing down. But a lot of my friends, the other day a guy said to me, "Well, how old are you?" And I said, "I'm 80. He said, "Good night, you're 80 years old. You look like 65. Well, you don't want to slow down because you still want to look like that many years younger than you really are. So there's a little ego that gets mixed in with it.
Tell us where we are now and tell us what we're looking at.
OK, Okay, we're in the bicycle barn or garage where all the maintenance of bicycles take place. We do a lot of custom building here. You're looking at a bike right now that we're building for me. This is an old person's bike, and it's built to where I'm lower to the ground, and I can sit on the seat and put my feet on the surface. So this is giving me relief in my shoulders, and that gives me a more comfortable ride. It's not super fast, but it accommodating my getting older. So this is something we're working on right now.
It looks like it wants to be a recumbent, almost a recumbent bicycle.
Well, you're halfway between the regular road bike and a recumbent.
What advice do you have for people? Because here we are in the summer, and folks would hear your story and be inspired at the idea of doing some riding, getting fit. What advice do you have for people who want to get out on bikes?
Just do it. Anyway, seriously, probably the greatest gift I've gotten from biking. I started, I grew up biking, but I started rather seriously in '64, and I've been riding ever since. I've ridden probably pushing about 350,000 miles. And that part isn't what I'm trying to impress you with.
Oh, I'm impressed. That's okay.
The impressive thing is that after you do something regularly enough and long enough, it's like needing water. It's like sleeping. You just got to do it. And your day isn't successfully filled unless you had your 45 minutes, an hour's ride. Now, we're here in Upland. And this is a mecca for back road riding. And there, you can ride from here 15 miles and come back and maybe see two cars on roads that are every bit as comfortable as a bike path. So within a probably 20-mile radius, let's say even 30, of Upland, I could probably travel a week and never hit the same road twice.
Bob Davenport, who you can hear kind of choking up as he talks about the young people he has led on coast-to-coast bike trips starting way back in 1964. Check out Coach Davenport's pictures on our Facebook page for a look at the benefits of exercise. He is 80 years old and looks about 64. And that, friends, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. And if you like, consider sending us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, those kinds of things. You just use a smartphone or a digital recorder, speak your piece, and email the file to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.